When you get your Bibles ready, I'm going to open them up and place your marker. 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16, we'll be coming back and forth to this text in just a moment. Just opening up to that text gives you an idea of what we're going to be doing. We're going to continue in some of our lessons that we've been studying in the United Kingdom, specifically with some character studies. And this past week or so, we talked about the man named Shimei. Going to talk about him and how that might apply to us. Really interesting situation that happened when he all of a sudden just appears on the stage. And we don't meet him until this event during the rebellion of Absalom. And then he shows back up, and then 3 years later he shows back up. Once we meet him time and time again. So let's look at some of the things we can learn from him that we can hopefully apply to our own life. The first thing that we find out about this man, and it's immediately, we get introduced to him, and then bam, there's his character. And his character is, he is a bitter man. He's an angry man that has let that bitterness just control him. Bitterness has filled his heart. You look into chapter 16, and just to remind ourselves, this is Absalom has rebelled against his father. He has gotten a good number of people behind him, powerful people, big names, and David, for fear of being seized under the city and just choked out in the middle of the night, David and those who are back to him, they're trying to sneak out. They're trying to get across the Jordan River. They're trying to get into the wilderness period. And as they are leaving Jerusalem, trying to get away, Shimei is there. And here's some of the things that we find out that he does in verse 5. That last phrase in verse 5, he came forth and cursed them as he came. So he's waiting for him on the side of the road, so to speak, up on a lofty spot, so he sees them coming, and his voice would have carried, and he just starts cussing them as they walk by. In verse 6, he starts throwing rocks at them. As they continue to pass by in verse 13, as David and his men went by on the way, Shimei went along on the hills against them and cursed them as he went, threw stones at him and cast dust. So he's in an elevated form of some way. And as they go by, he's just letting it go, letting his words fly, letting his stones fly, kicking dirt on them. All of us have gotten angry at things. All of us have been, the idea we talk about bitterness, we think about a bitter character, a bitter heart. We know what that word means. We get something in our mouth and you just can't choke it down. You can't do anything, you just want to get rid of it. We talk about a bitter taste. And we have taken that phrase and this person, this event, this thing, gives me a bad taste in my mouth, we say. We talk about something not tasting right. That just doesn't taste right to me. And we're not talking about food. We're talking about things. We're talking about events. We're talking about maybe even people, if not groups of people. That doesn't taste good to me. We get the idea. We know what this phrase means. We've understood it because we've all had it. And we all deal with bitterness from time to time. But if we let those feelings linger in our heart, it will lead to sin. It can lead to sinful thoughts, if not just outright directly sinful actions. And David is facing a bitter man here. And that's the first thing that we find. But when you go a little deeper, what we find out is, in verse 8, is that this bitterness is all based on something that's not even true. Look at what this all goes back to in verse 8. The Lord, he's screaming out to David as he walks by, kicking dust, throwing rocks, cussing him. And here's what it's all about in Shimei's heart. The Lord has returned to you all the blood from the house of Saul, in whose place you now reign. In verse 7, he calls him over and over, oh, you're a man of blood. You're a blood. Yeah, keep on walking, bloody man. And then you get specific about it. The blood of Saul's hands is on you. Is that true? Is the blood of Saul's house on David? We're not going to take the time to do this. I'm just going to, in our memory, I'll take us back. Do you remember when we studied 1 Samuel 24? David was hiding in a cave of En-Gedi. And Saul comes in. David, close enough, he can cut off his garment. If he can cut his garment, he can cut his throat. But he didn't. In 1 Samuel 26, the armies are chasing David. It's night, and God causes this deep sleep on the army, basically. And David and one of his mighty men walk down into that cave, into that camp, and they take his spear, they take his water bottle, and the mighty man says, "Let me take this spear. I got a good idea what I can do with this spear. I can make a shish kebab out of him. And I won't need to stick him but one time. Let me have your permission." David, multiple times, had Saul's blood right there for the taking, and he didn't do it. He knew God had anointed him, and David knew that breath is in God's hands, and I will not touch him. As a matter of fact, in a quiet moment, he repented even of cutting off his garment. That's how tender his conscience was. I shouldn't have done that. That was a little bit too bold of me. Shimei, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, hates David. And he hates him because of things he thinks that were never even true. And here's how more ridiculous it gets. In verse 8, let's keep on reading. So you're a man of blood. Saul's blood is on your hands. That's not true. But let's keep reading. Verse 8. The Lord has returned to you all the blood from the house of Saul, in whose place you reign. Yeah, you deserve this. You deserve every bit of this. Now you're getting yours. But here's the ridiculousness of it. The Lord has delivered the kingdom to the hand of Absalom. Now think a second. Shimei's issue is Saul's family should still be the king. If you hadn't had his blood on your hand, then Saul would have been king, then Jonathan would have been king, and then you've taken away Saul's kingdom, and now it's being returned. I'm sorry, what? Is Absalom a part of Saul's kingdom? Is Absalom from Benjamin? Is Absalom a part? That's how ridiculous this is. Even had Absalom's rebellion been successful, it wasn't setting up a king in Benjamin. It wasn't going back to the initial United King monarchy and dynasty of Saul. But you see, that's the thing. When me and you are mad, when me and you are acting out of anger, when we're acting out of uncontrolled bitterness, logic doesn't have a lot to do with it. When me and you're just acting out of anger, we're just acting. We're not responding to anything. We're just reacting to something. And usually we just act and then think about it a little bit later on. Doesn't make any sense what he's arguing. But usually when we're acting out of anger, it doesn't make sense. So how do we apply this to our life? You know, bitterness and anger off of things that aren't even true. False ideas, false premises. Well, sometimes we can imagine insults and slights. You know, we think somebody's got it in for us. And it's just in our imagination. We probably have experienced that before. We can get bitter at someone. We can get angry at someone who's not doing one thing in this world other than showing concern for our soul. Someone maybe comes to us, and you might want to think about this. You know, you might want to consider that, and all they're worried about is spiritual things. And how dare you challenge me? How dare you question that about me? And now we're mad. Paul asked the Galatians, "Am I your enemy? Do you think I'm an enemy just because I'm telling you the truth?" Maybe you've experienced that. It might be that we're still got this element of bitterness and anger towards somebody who long ago repented. Brent mentioned that in his prayer, that we be willing to repent of things. And that what goes with that is we be willing to forgive too. We're going to find out what David did with Shimei a little bit later on as this man comes back into the story. Turn to Ephesians 4. Let's make applications to ourselves. Ephesians chapter 4. It's a shameful thing to say, but probably a truthful thing to say. And that is, we better be glad God doesn't forgive like we do. We might need to be thankful that God doesn't hold grudges like we do. Ephesians 4, verse 31, what He wants us to be is like Him. Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, and there's that phrase, the very phrase that would best describe Shimei's character. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. And so, verse 31 is the things to get rid of. Verse 32 is what has to take their place. Get rid of them, verse 31. And be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Even, I'll mention some things in application that maybe it's an insult or slight that we have imagined. Maybe it's something that was real but forgiven, repented of. You know, it might be real and not have been dealt with. It might still be out there. But we still have to have this kindness and this gentleness and this willingness to forgive as God forgives. Even if the reason is not groundless, it's still wrong to live our life based on anger and hatred and, like Shimei, responding in these ways. It can cost us a soul. Controlled by bitterness. Bitterness that's not even based on reality. And here's another kicker. That went on and on and on. Bitterness that was not based on real. That literally lasted for decades. Decades. The best we can put, now there's no just flat out just monthly and yearly timeline. But we know that David became king at the age of 30. We know that. So that's when Saul would have died. David was roughly 50 when the sin with Bathsheba occurred. And do you remember what happened with him and Absalom? You know, there was that time period, and then there was Amnon and Tamar. Years passed. Absalom deals with Amnon and then runs away. Years pass. Finally, David lets him come home. Years pass before he'll even look at him. We're pushing 30 years. If not, it possibly could even be more than that. It could be pushed 11 to 12 years. But we've got 3 decades almost locked down that this has been going on. Saul has been dead pushing 30 years. And for 30 years, this man named Shimei has blamed David for that. For 30 years, a man named Shimei has been looking out of corners, waiting on a chance for David to get his. And for life to come back and put him in his place. 30 years, he's been hating somebody based off something that's not true. How long have me and you let things boil up inside of us? How long have we held on to things that affect how we think about somebody, if not how we act to somebody? You know, this comments to his heart. You look back with me in verse 31. There are things that have to be put away from us. Bitterness, wrath, and anger. And Shimei has not put them away. He has nurtured them. And what happens is, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we get this interesting phrase that we'll understand, even whether we plant things or not, whether we're a farmer or not. Hebrews chapter 12. Start with me, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow after peace with all men. So can you imagine this just being the next verse after Ephesians 4:32? Ephesians 4:31. Put away your bitterness, your anger, your clamor, your wrath. Verse 32. Be kind. Be loving. Be forgiving. Be gentle. Verse 14. Follow after peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man may see the Lord. Now that shows how important it is. Follow after these things, or we won't be dwelling with the Lord. We're talking about important things here. We're not talking about things we're walking down the grocery aisle. I'll take this. I'll take 5 of those. No, I don't think I want any of that. Without this, you will not see the Lord, he says. Verse 15. Looking diligently, carefully, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many become defiled. A root of bitterness. Think about, you go out and you're walking through and you see an acorn that's fallen. Maybe 3 months later, that acorn has this little big twig come up, about this big. You know how much effort it takes to reach down and pull that thing out? Probably less than a calorie. But let it just keep going. Let it keep going. All of a sudden, in years, 30 years, let's say, that's about what Shimei, that's about what we can lock down. Imagine you've got this little twig, 3 feet from your house that fell into a flower bed that today you can pull up with a pinky. 30 years from now, you got a tree 3 feet from your house. And you got those roots that have spread out under your foundation and nothing's stable anymore. Because a root of the bitterness has sprang up and it causes trouble. That's how the Hebrew writer describes it. You let it hang around. You don't get rid of it, as Ephesians 4 talks about, and all these other things happen. Philippians chapter 4 talks about replacing all that with think on things that are holy. Think on things that are just. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. It matters. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. This is a verse I know we have looked at. I don't know how recently. I know we have made this application before. But in case there's any people here who are saying, I am responsible for my actions. I have to control my actions. But you can't control what you think. Actually, you can. You can control not what pops up, but you do control what becomes rooted. Not only can we, we're expected to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 5. Cast down every arrogant imagination. So Ephesians chapter 4 talked about removing them. 2 Corinthians 10 says cast them out. There are things we got to throw away. Cast down imaginations, arrogant obstacles, etc. Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our thoughts, we have to control them. We know what it means to bring something into captivity. That's, in the first century, that could literally be describing slavery. To be captive to something. To be chained to something. Bring your thoughts under control. Bring your thoughts under captivity. They are to be chained up. They don't just run wild. They don't have a free rein in our mind. Things can pop up into our mind. We have to pull it out before this root of bitterness begins and spreads. The point is that it can't hang around. Or Shimei is who we become. So keep looking through. Controlled by bitterness. The bitterness was based on something that was not even true. But it's true to him. And decades pass. It just boils and gets bigger and it gets hotter. And now we understand why he's doing what he's doing. It explains why he's throwing rocks and kicking dirt. It explains why he's rejoicing at the misfortune of somebody else. That was a bad time. And not just David's life, Israel's life. Turn back where you've got your marker at. This time go back to chapter 15. Just to remind ourselves of what that night was like. David, the united king of Israel, the anointed of God, who has beaten the Philistines and the Ammonites and the Moabites, who has brought to their knees every nation in spitting distance. Now running from his own army, but to a certain extent, running from his own capital city, running from his own son. And there are people with him. In verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount of Olives. And he wept as he went up. His head covered. He went barefoot. All the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went out weeping as they went up. We know of another time when a king walking out of Jerusalem, middle of the night. We know about some tears that happened in the Mount of Olives. We know this was a sad night, except to a bitter man who hates somebody for no cause, a rebel without a cause. In this crowd of sorrow and tears and mourning, you've got a guy just relishing it, licking it up like a dog licking up water. Romans chapter 12 talks about weeping with those who weep. Here's a man laughing at those who weep. Here's a man adding to the tears of those who weep. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look and see that there is another option. There is another response when there is somebody who is down, when there is somebody who is low. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing about that first imprisonment that we know of. This would have been the imprisonment that happened as Acts comes to an end. At the end of Acts 28, Paul is under house arrest. He is free to teach. People can come to him. It seems to be that he can even go out as long as there's a guard with him. But he's not free, so to speak. But he is in this period. At the end of that, you know, there was a time he would have had to stand before Caesar. There was another time he was arrested, and he went by. He's describing during that cycle. In verse 16, he said, "The Lord have mercy on the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains." When that first initial slavery, when maybe some, I don't know if I want to be seen with a convict. Onesiphorus took him in, did what he could to help. Verse 17, "When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." Seems to be the idea, since he's praising him for doing this, doesn't it kind of infer that maybe some other people were not doing it? That others were maybe ignoring? Verse 18, "May the Lord grant to him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many times he ministered to me at Ephesus." And you know very well, here's a man that Paul is saying, that in some of my low times, here's a man that helped me. Here's a man that refreshed me. Here's a man that wept when I wept. Wept as I wept. And that's the opposite. We have some choices here. There's Onesiphorus and there's Shimei. Both seeing somebody who could have used a hug, not willing to offer that. You put all this together, what you've got is just an incredibly terrible example. At the time Shimei lived, was he a child of God? If he's from Benjamin, he was. Was he a part of the physical kingdom of God? If he's an Israelite, he was. Is that the way the child of a king ought to behave? Publicly cussing, throwing stones. You know, there was one of the first. I've got a lot of biographies, autobiographies. A lot of them are sports related. One of the first ones I ever got. I was about 8 years old, and my granddad gave me a book called Billy Ball, and it was a biography of Billy Martin. Now you, those of you that are my age and older, will know the name Billy Martin if you're a baseball fan, and I liked him at the time. Because when you're 8 years old and he's got the same name as you, that matters when you're eight. I realize now how... But there was nothing about him to be emulated. Those of you that are baseball fans, he was mean. He was probably an alcoholic. And even when he wasn't drinking, he was still mean. And he was known for getting mad and pitching fits. And if he ever got mad at an umpire, he just made a spectacle of himself. He went out and he's throwing bases. And that was back in the 70s and early 80s when the first thing a manager did if they got mad, they went out and they kicked dirt on the home plate to make the umpire have to do some extra work to clean it off. So there he is kicking dirt. Well, he wasn't exactly a good example of a controlled man. It's Shimei kicking dirt, throwing rocks, cussing up a storm. Is that an example of not just a good man? Is that an example of a good son of a king? We would all say no. Aren't we the child of a king? Aren't we a royal priesthood? Carl and I watched, well, we're not watching now, we finished it. We watched some, I don't know, a documentary certainly wouldn't be the right word, but this thing about the royalty in England, and there were some interesting things in it because I didn't know a whole lot about that. One of the things that was interesting to me is how early they start those. If you're in the line, if you're in the royal family, they don't start out with A, B's, and C's. They don't start out with 1, 2s, and 3s teaching you to care. They don't really even care about physical education. And they want to, do you know how to behave in public? Do you know how the royal blood is supposed to be seen? Do you know if people are looking at you, how to carry and hold yourself? There is a line to be met. They start very early on. When you are in public, here's what you represent. And that's a fleshly kingdom that doesn't even have any authority in it. What about a real spiritual kingdom that has all authority? We are the children of a king. And we got to behave such. We got to behave in such a way. Because bitterness left to ferment, if bitterness does to us what it did to him, it will eventually explode. Turn back to where you marked was. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Let's finish up with this. What happens? We've seen his character. And we've seen how he responded when things looked like they were going to turn for the good as he saw it. But you know, we know the rest of the story. We just studied it. God was with David. The Absalom rebellion was put down. It took a while, but now David is making his way back into Jerusalem. He's about to cross over the Jordan River. And you remember who the first person there was? Literally, the first person there was Shimei. And he's just waiting on him as that ferry brings him over. In verse 19, we're in 2 Samuel 19, 19. Shimei said to the king, "Let not my Lord impute iniquity upon me. Do not remember that which your servant did perversely that day, that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart." Verse 20, "For your servant knows that I have sinned, and behold, I have come the very first of this day of all the house of Joseph to go down and meet the Lord, to meet my king." He says, "I am here for a reason. I am begging for mercy. I know what I said. I know what I did. It was perverse. It was disgusting. And I am asking you not to remember it against me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking for mercy." He asked for forgiveness. He asked for mercy. And in verse 23, he got it. David gave it to him. What a wonderful king that is. What a forgiving king that is. And so real quick applications for us before we finish all this up. If we're harboring bitterness, if we are Shimei having already exploded, then we got to ask for forgiveness. If we are Shimei prior to the explosion, we got to get rid of the stuff. We got to get rid of the root. We got to pull that stuff out before it hurts many. We got to put it away and replace it with something else. We've all been there. Whether we've done something wrong to another, okay, that's one thing. Whether we have done something to God, not even a question, is it? So we've all got to humbly ask for this from the king. And then the interesting thing that we just saw this past Wednesday night, the most recent of our Bible studies, Shimei was given mercy. And by the way, it was mercy, not grace. Grace is a gift that you haven't earned. Shimei had earned something. He had earned death, and the mighty men knew that. And as Shimei was begging for mercy, Abishai said, "Let me kill this. Let me kill him. He doesn't deserve to live. He has earned death." Mercy is having earned death and not having to pay for it. It's having to earn a horrible consequence that we are released from, forgiven of. That's what he was given. Solomon put some conditions on that mercy. We saw it Wednesday night. The conditions was you had to stay in the city of Jerusalem. There's your city of refuge. Personal city of refuge. That's your place of safety. Mercy will continue to be extended as long as you're in that city. 3 years pass. 3 years. It's not 2022, it's 2025. 3 years pass and he was obedient to that condition. And then something happened. He goes chasing off after it. He violates the condition and he lost his life. Get your songbooks out. What do we deal with that? How do we handle that? It might be that you and I have been given mercy. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserved from our first sin on. But mercy has been extended to us. But there are parameters. There are conditions to that mercy. Ephesians 2 talks about sins and trespasses. You know, what's it mean to trespass? Trespass is to go on something that be on property you don't have a right to be on. Shimei was told not to leave the city of Jerusalem. And he did. He trespassed. He went into a place he had no right to be. And all of a sudden the mercy was taken away. If you and I just look at ourselves, honest assessment, and we're just a trespasser. We spend our days, we spend our weeks, we spend places we ought not be. Places that are off limits to the child of a king. And we're not any better than Shimei. If we're not controlling bitterness, we're no better. If we're not asking for forgiveness and begging for mercy, we're no better. And if given mercy, we violate the rules of how it's to be offered. We're no better. We're here and we can fix it. And that's what we want to do before we go into our classes. Take advantage of the opportunity while we stand and sing.